We're going to the book of Galatians this morning for our study. Galatians chapter 1. We're going to begin reading at verse 3. We'll be reading in the New King James Version. Text on the chart or from that version unless otherwise indicated. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Deliver us. Deliverance is a great thing. We celebrate, as a matter of fact, our own deliverance, freedom, and liberation in our nation today. Deliverance is indeed a great thing. Those who lived under political slavery of Egypt welcome their own deliverance. In Exodus 3 and in verse 7 and following, Yahweh speaking to Moses said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, delivered from Egyptian bondage. But God also delivered Daniel, if you'll remember, Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. But the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, I want you to note that, two times that phrase is mentioned in this text, whom you serve continually, has been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I have been found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. God delivers. Our text tells us that God delivers through Christ Jesus. He delivers us from sin and from this present evil age. We indeed need deliverance from this present evil age in which we live. It is indeed a wicked time in which we live. The word age there simply has reference to a time. But the phrase under consideration is this present evil world in which we live. In this present evil world in which we live, we need deliverance. Jesus can deliver man from this present evil age, from this evil world, in different ways. He can deliver us from the confusion of the world, because the world is in a state of confusion. When sin came into this world, it threw the world in a state of spiritual confusion, and it has continued in that state ever since sin came into this world. And just as Paul said that Christ had delivered them from this present evil age, we can be delivered from the confusion that exists in the world, the spiritual confusion, the moral ignorance that is in the lives of people, simply because they have no relationship with their God, their Maker, and have no relationship with His Word, and render no obedience to it in any way. In Ephesians 4 and in verse 17, Paul says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Note this, in the futility of their mind. King James Version says, vanity of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness or licentiousness. The word has reference to no moral restraint at all, to work all kinds of uncleanness or ungodliness, immorality with greediness. That is, they have an insatiable desire for that which is immoral in the sight of God. Can't get enough of it. Moral ignorance is the basis of this problem of moral confusion in the world. Paul said in this text here in Ephesians 4 and verse 17, in the futility of their man is put for their thinking and their thoughts, their comprehension, their understanding of things. Futility or vanity is the emptiness. Man's mind is empty. His thoughts are empty. They're vain in the sight of God. Their thinking has been darkened. Galatians 6 and verse 7, Paul said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Man's mind, his thinking, his thoughts, his understanding is indeed vain and empty if he can think he can live one way in life and reap the benefits of a life to come in heaven. If he thinks he can live in an immoral lifestyle and yet reap the benefits of an everlasting life in heaven, his thinking is twisted, it's distorted, it's perverted, it's empty, it's vain, it's filled with vanity and futility. That kind of thinking will get him nowhere. Think of the people whose understanding is darkened today. They have no kind of enlightenment at all. They're in spiritual ignorance. Ephesians 4 and verse 18, having their understanding darkened. Their understanding darkened, there's their mind. Their ability to comprehend, perceive spiritual matters. It's darkened. It's in darkness. It's like the people we were studying about this morning, the Pharisees, the unbelieving Jews in John 9, where Jesus came to enlighten them. But they were not willing to be enlightened. They were spiritually blind and didn't know it. And so are many people today. Because their mind's filled with darkness. It's filled with sin. They simply cannot see and perceive, comprehend and understand the will of God for them in their lives because their lives are so filled with immorality. In Romans 1 and in verse 21, speaking of the Gentiles, Paul said, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, note this, but became futile, vain in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their hearts, their minds, their understanding is completely filled with darkness. Talk about a world in confusion. That's why they're confused. You ever try to walk around in the middle of the night with no light? Oh, how confusing it can become. It can become dangerous. But yet, men's minds are filled with spiritual darkness. Some of them are even past feeling. Ephesians 4 and verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. They've given themselves over to licentiousness. To no moral restraint whatsoever. They've given themselves up completely to the desires of the flesh, you might say. And their past feeling, that is, their conscience doesn't bother them anymore. Their conscience has been seared. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Of the false teachers, Paul said, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That is, their feeling has been taken away. They pillow their head at night and their conscience doesn't bother them because of the immoral life they're engaged in. The sins that they participate in day after day, their past feeling, with a conscience seared. Sinful people then, of such nature, have simply alienated themselves from God, estranged themselves from God, being alienated from the life of God. That is from the life that God can give them. They're in a state of spiritual confusion, and they've cut themselves off from the life that God can provide them. Therefore, they're dead in sin. They're spiritually dead. They're not alive. They're not like the life we'll study about tonight. Galatians 2:20. The life that I now live. They're not living that life. They're alienated from that life. They're dead. Ephesians 2 and in verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So they're spiritually dead. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, Paul including himself, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, the inclinations, and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Yes, the confusion of the world, we can be delivered from it. The world is confused. It's in a state of spiritual darkness. But we can be brought out of it by the light of God's truth in Jesus Christ. The world is doctrinally confused. Ephesians 4 and in verse 14. That we shall no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Yes, the world is doctrinally confused. People are tossed this way and that way. The metaphor is that of a ship on the sea with the winds tossing it this way and then that way. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. People vacillate from one belief to another. So the world is in confusion, but Christ can deliver us from that confusion. Some say that they're saved by faith only. Another argues that one church is as good as another. And then another argues that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. What a state of confusion, doctrinal confusion. So the world's not only in a state of moral confusion, and in spiritual darkness, it is in a state of doctrinal confusion. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope of deliverance from such. Ephesians 4 and in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Truth is in Jesus. The definite article thee is not before the word in the text, in the Greek. Truth is in Jesus. You want to find truth in regard to things of a moral nature? Look to Jesus Christ and his word. Want to find the truth in regard to the doctrinal confusion that exists in the world? Look to Jesus Christ and his word, because he can deliver us from the confusion that exists in the world. And he is the only one who can. But Jesus can also deliver us from the corruption of the world, the moral rot and decay that exist in this present evil age in which we live. In Acts 2 and in verse 40, Jesus, or Peter, told those on the day of Pentecost, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. This perverse generation, this untoward generation, this crooked generation, this immoral generation is that which he has in mind. We think the day and time in which we live is filled with immorality. It was no different from the time in the first century in which the apostles lived and preached in. It was a perverted time period. Morally corrupted, the whole world simply under the control and the power of Satan. 1 John 5 and in verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. They lie under the power of the wicked one. They lie under the power of Satan. They simply do his bidding. They're like slaves who render their will up to their master. Paul describes this state as being an old man, an old man of sin in Ephesians 4 and in verse 22. But you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt, morally corrupt, according to the deceitful lust of it. So in our state before we become born again, regenerated in Christ Jesus, made new, Paul refers to us to that as that old man of sin, our former conduct. Christ can save us from such a state of moral corruption. He can make us new. Revelation 1 and verse 5, Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Who can deliver you from the corruption that is in this world? From the moral rot and decay that exists, perhaps in your life and in the lives of so many today? Jesus Christ can. He can purge us and wash away and take away those sins. Hebrews 9 and verse 17. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? People who engage in sin over and over and sear their conscience and it doesn't bother them at night, that's not everyone. Because some people know what's right and what's wrong in their life and their conscience is not seared. And when they pillow their head at night, they are simply bothered by their sins and their life. But Jesus Christ can cleanse our conscience even with His blood. He can purify our conscience. We can pillow our heads at night knowing that we're in a right relationship with God. Though we may have lived a very immoral lifestyle in times past, He has taken those sins away. He has cleansed us by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has purged our sins. Hebrews 1 and in verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness and glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of God. He died to do that very thing, to deliver man from the corruption, the moral rot and decay that's in the world. And the price of that which brought about that deliverance and liberation, was the very blood that He shed on the cross. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit in sincere love the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, having been made anew, not like the former man whom you once were, not of corrupt seed but incorruptible through the word of God which lives and abides forever. This cleansing becomes a reality simply when we obey the truth. We're no longer that old man of sin. It's been done away with through our obedience to the will of God. James 1 and verse 18. Of His own will, that is of God's own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth. He begat us by the word of truth. He fathered us through the word of truth if we'll simply obey it. That's how He delivers us from the corruption that is in this world, in the present evil age in which we live. But Christ can also deliver us from the condemnation of the world as well, because this world is condemned. It stands guilty in the sight of God. John 3 and in verse 17, Jesus said, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Why did He not send His Son into the world to condemn the world? Because the world was already condemned. It was in need of deliverance. It was in need of salvation. And so He delivers us from the condemnation of the world. God's wrath is coming upon the sons of disobedience, Paul said in Ephesians 5 and in verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words or false words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The world is condemned. And the only one who can deliver us from it is Jesus Christ. The Bible clearly speaks about the wrath of God that is to come to all who are condemned in this life. Romans 2 and in verse 5, Paul said, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you're treasuring up for yourselves wrath on the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. who will render to each one, note this, according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance, note that, patient continuance in doing good, patient continuance. Take that thought back to Daniel, who continually served God. Patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also for the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. The world stands under condemnation. We're part of the world. We live in this world. We should not live like the world. If we do, we certainly need deliverance from it. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can deliver us from the wrath of God that is to come. In our reading this morning in Hebrews 10 in verse 46, the Hebrew writer said, "For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin." If we sin willfully, if we deliberately sin, knowing the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. The people to whom this epistle was written were forsaking Christ and Christianity. They were abandoning gospel and going back to the law of Moses as a means of salvation or justification. But Christ had already come. He had given his life as a sacrifice for man's sins one time, and it would never happen again. And so when one comes to understand and know the truth, and continues to sin willfully and deliberately, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. That sacrifice has been made. Don't forsake Christ and Christianity and seek your salvation and your deliverance somewhere else. You'll not find it. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation will devour the adversaries. Anyone who's rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose? Of how much more a severe punishment do you suppose? Under the old law, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, if one was found gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, that is violating the Sabbath day, he would be stoned to death. No mercy shown. How much worse punishment will he be thought worthy who's trampled the Son of God underfoot? You know what it means to trample Son underfoot? Despise it. There's your wife or someone, knowing you're coming in from the outside, perhaps rainy and muddy out, or you've been working out in the yard, sees you coming in the door and throws something down on the floor for you to wipe your feet on. That's how you treat Jesus Christ. Will he be thought worthy who's trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But the world stands condemned. All people of the world stand condemned. And the only way they can receive deliverance from that condemnation is in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. In Galatians 6 and in verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption." What does it mean to reap corruption? And what does it mean to sow to the flesh? Well, you go back in the context, Galatians 5, verse 19 and following, you see the works of the flesh. When you gauge in the works of the flesh, you're sowing to the flesh. The works of the flesh are those works or deeds or actions of man that man gives himself up to in regard to the desires and inclinations of the flesh. When you live according to the flesh's dictates, you're sowing to the flesh. And from that you'll reap corruption. Of course, corruption is that which is subject to decay and rot. But in the context, it's defined for us. It's defined for us by the very next phrase that's used. Note the contrast. "But he who sows the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You want to know what corruption is? it's spiritual death. So you're living in moral rot and decay in this world, in a world of confusion, morally confused. You need to be delivered from it because you're engaging in the works of the flesh. You're sowing to the flesh. And from that, you're going to reap spiritual death. But he who sows to the Spirit, what does it mean to sow to the Spirit? It means to live a life, engaging in actions and deeds and behavior that is controlled, authorized. That is, the source of those actions, deeds, and things come from the Spirit. That is the Spirit-inspired Word. You'll have a life. You'll have the life, eternal life. Deliverance from the condemnation that exists in the world. Only found in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh. Some people's lives are governed by the flesh. That is, they give themselves up to every inclination and desire of the flesh. It's hard not to. You know how hard it is not to eat some ice cream from time to time? I do. It's hard. I want to give in to that, what I've gotten used to calling a sin, my own sin. It's not a sin to eat ice cream. But it's a desire of the flesh. You know how hard it is to give in to eating a big meal sometimes, perhaps cake and ice cream too, and then a piece of pie on the side of that? Sometimes it's hard. Those who walk according to the flesh are like that. They're giving themselves up to desires and inclinations of the flesh. They're controlled. They conform their life to the desires of the flesh. Whatever it happens to be, it perhaps might be a desire to gossip. Seem to can't keep from it. It's like that desire for ice cream. Their life becomes conformed to every desire and inclination of the flesh they have. They're not walking, behaving, conducting themselves according to the teaching of the Spirit. And so if they're living in harmony and in conformity to the flesh, they need to find deliverance from that condemnation in Christ Jesus. In His death, Jesus provided the basis for this deliverance. Romans 3 and verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, through the liberation, through the deliverance that is in Christ Jesus. Deliverance from this old condemned world is only found in Christ Jesus. No other place. Romans 5 and verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by His blood. What does it mean to be justified? We're justified by His blood, that is, by the blood that He shed on the cross. We're justified, that is, we're pronounced innocent, forgiven of our sins, pardoned of our sins. Having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We'll be saved from the condemnation of the world. We're delivered through the blood of Jesus Christ. Where is that deliverance found again? In Christ and in no other place. Galatians 3 and verse 26 in the English Standard Version. For in Christ Jesus you're all sons of God. You're all sons of God in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ Jesus, that means you're a child of the devil. It's just that simple. In Christ Jesus you're a son of God. That means in Christ Jesus you've been delivered from the condemnation of this world. Jesus is the only one who can deliver you from it. In Christ Jesus. How do you get into Christ Jesus? Where that deliverance and liberation and freedom is found. By being baptized into Christ Jesus for the remission of your sins. It's just that simple. Christ Jesus is the great deliverer. He died to deliver. Of course, the Jews thought that that's foolish thinking. How could a Savior who died deliver us if He couldn't deliver Himself? But He is the Son of God. He can deliver you from the confusion of the world, from the corruption, the moral corruption that may exist in your life and the lives of so many people in the world. And He can deliver you from the condemnation that you're under right now. The condemnation of sin. Spiritual death. Be delivered in Christ Jesus this morning through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. Get into Christ where deliverance is found. If you're in a state of moral confusion, you're morally corrupted by sin. This very hour, you stand condemned in the sight of God. Seek deliverance in Christ as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.